Gunachshish for being here with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. The latest aerial and satellite photos show that Tonga has been blanketed by ash after an underwater volcano erupted in an explosion that was heard as far away as Alaska. The country's government is now calling it an unprecedented disaster. KTOO's Rasha McChesney spoke with a group of Tongans living in Juneau yesterday to find out how they're coping. This was before new details have emerged about the extent of the damage and the need for a massive disaster response.
The Pacific island of Tonga has been isolated from the rest of the world after a volcanic eruption that triggered a tsunami that cut off phone and internet. Ash from that eruption has been a major problem, and there are concerns of it contaminating fresh water supplies. And one other complication with aid efforts is that Tonga is currently COVID-19 free. I'm Rasha McChesney. I'm here today with Melehoko Pau'u Ma'ake, Margaret Sakona, Stephen Paya, and Vika Paya. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me. You're all family and here in Juneau. How's it going today? When was the last time that you heard from your family and friends in Tonga?
Vika, you want to answer that?
We're doing okay. We are still pretty much very concerned about our family and friends. We have not heard a single thing from anyone, and it's pretty devastating.
Some of the places where my mom come from, Ha'atafu, she has an auntie that they grew up there, has been completely damaged, and these are coastal area villages. And so we heard for sure that Ha'atafu severely damaged. And so that's the only information we've been able to get. So it's a good thing there is a High Commissioner of Australia and New Zealand there that has a satellite. Other than that, everyone's pretty much left in the dark, and we've been reaching out and no response whatsoever. And we're not the only one. Even people who lives in New Zealand, which is a lot closer to Tonga, it's the same thing, which I've been talking a lot to one of my first cousin because of her dad, who's 84, who's there. And still they haven't heard anything. And he's actually in the capital of Nuku'alofa. So still no communication from him. So we're all, pretty edgy be able to hear from him that he's okay, and that he has a daughter that's also there, and they have a lot of little kids. So I want to turn some time over to Margaret and Stephen.
It's really scary, and Tonga is a really small country, but the people, everybody's really passionate and they love big, and so it's really important for us what's going on to kind of have people be aware and get involved in any way possible. But I have a little cousin that lives with us. He's been living with us for a couple of years now, but he moved from Tonga, and his dad and his sister are living there right now. And we speak to them every single week, but ever since the volcano erupted and everything went downhill over there in Tonga, we haven't been able to hear anything. We've been trying to call them, message them, and reach out to family and friends out there, but we haven't been able to get any kind of information except for what we've been able to read and see on the from the media. And it's a sad thing, because sometimes we've even gotten misformed information too from the media. So I remember, like, my mom's village, the place where she's from, some people said it like completely sunk, but that was like, it was false. And so, like, for us right now, we're just like completely in the dark with everything, and it's just been devastating all, like, all around. But that's the last we've been able to hear from family, is really just right before the volcano erupted.
Margaret, do you mind if I ask, it's been really tricky to get updates. Like, I've been checking, news sources in New Zealand and Australia, and it seems like international news was talking about it for a while, and then it just kind of went silent. And I'm curious, like, I've been checking sort of individual people's social media to see who might be posting. I'm wondering how you're getting your updates, if you're sort of crawling family members' social media, if you're calling them, like, how are you trying to, like, make contact?
Yeah, that, well, I've been literally going to any kind of source possible, like media. And then if I don't get enough from the media, then I've been having so many family and friends message me, send me information, like videos, pictures from other people's accounts. And so that's how I've been able to keep updated with what's going on. But still, even that kind of information is still not enough. And it's been really hard not hearing, being able to hear from anyone on the island. Because even like from New Zealand and Australia, we know that they've been, you know, waiting to kind of go in and help out. But because we've heard that it's still pretty active, the volcano, they're trying to be really cautious about going in anytime soon too. So, but yeah, that's how I've heard a lot of my information is really from people's personal accounts.
Yeah, I want to clarify one thing. One thing that I've also noticed, because I've been doing the same thing, is going to many people's accounts. And to me, it seems like all those informations is from before. It was like from right before that eruption happened. You know, I can't sleep very well lately. And so that's because that's what I'm doing. I'm just like, you know, trying to get any information, and look like every information that I'm getting, it's right before it happened. Just like my really good friend, when she did her video of driving home from when the during the eruption. So I kind of know how, you know, the land was looking like, and what with the water. And there was a video that got sent from Avika's auntie that we've just been sharing. I've been sharing around. And so, but it looked like all of that information was pretty much before, I mean, you know, yeah, before the internet went completely down in the phone and all of that.
Yeah, so I grew up in the islands in Tonga, and I moved here like right before my last year of in high school. So I kind of have an idea of what you know, the life was when I, you know, when I grew up. So I can't imagine you know, going through with what these kids and, you know, because 30% of, you know, the income that Tonga, the island of Tonga makes is from agriculture. And, you know, when I grew up over there, we always go to have our plantation. We always outside, like majority of the time. The only time we're in the house, we go to sleep or, you know, and then after that, we go outside. So now I can't imagine, like, you know, your house is like 2 or 3 feet with water and you can't do anything, you know, so that's what I kind of, you know, thinking about is like what Mela said, we've seen videos of what happened before the, you know, the tsunami. So this is very sad, you know, so I haven't heard from my sister. You know, and another thing too, we haven't talked about was, when I grew up over in Tonga, we study the, you know, what the islands are like in Tonga, and the main island is Tongatapu, where, it's very flat. There's no mountains. So and we always joke about it. There's a tsunami coming, it's going to wipe out the whole islands. And there's about majority, I think it was like 70,000 live in that island. So I can't imagine 70,000 people with a tsunami warning cramped up in a little village that's trying to find the highest places.
I read that Tongatapu, like the highest point above sea level is like 76 feet or something like that. Like it's just not a very, there's not a lot of high ground.
Yeah, that's why we're surprised that, you know, why is the whole, why, you know, the island is still... they're still an island, you know, it should have been underwater already, but that's what we're waiting to see. So
it sounds like you're saying it would be really difficult to be prepared for something at this scale.
One thing I noticed on the videos that I was being sent to is the awareness of volcano. What is a volcano eruption? What happens when a volcano erupts? I kept hearing, you know, the lady who was taking the video, like, why is it the rocks? Why is it raining rocks? Why is it the rain is dark? Why is there so much dust? I think that's like the number one thing that really blew me away was hearing, yeah, because these people have no idea. They have never experienced or even educated, or like here in America, you know, in the schools, we're taught like what you do in an earthquake, how you prepare, or, you know, you go under a table. There's not any kind of awareness.
I think it has more to do with they really didn't know that a volcano was erupting. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they understand what a volcano is, but I don't think they had a warning like early on enough to be able to be prepared. Okay, there's a volcano about to erupt. You guys have to go to your safe spaces. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I know, like, I always heard stories of my dad saying, like Benny was talking about, like they had tsunamis all the time. But mm-hmm. what some of them had to do was they would run to some of the church buildings, mm-hmm. and there was certain places, locations that they would have designated just for people to go to. Because mm-hmm. I know that like a lot of homes are right next to the coastline and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so right. they would have to have other Leave. Places to relocate. But I honestly feel like they didn't have a warning like sent to them saying like, hey, something's about to happen. You know what I mean? Cause then I would probably do the same. Like what the heck are all the rocks falling from? Like, yeah. cause I didn't, and it was underneath the volcano was underwater. So I would be super confused if I didn't see a volcano.
And how are your friends and neighbors in Juneau helping you specifically? Like, what do you want them to know? And are they supporting you? And how can they support you in this going forward?
To me, it's the awareness that's really important with Tonga's situation. And I have amazing friends who are here from Juneau who's already, you know, who called me and checked up on me and my family to see if I had made any communication. So those are like the first questions that I'm getting, you know, from my friends here in Juneau, you know, so it's really nice, you know, to hear them, you know, that they care, that they, you know, that they know, because, you know, the Tongan, you know, like you kind of have a feeling, you know, feeling for it, Rasha. In our culture, in the Tongan culture, it's like, you know, it's almost like we're all, you know, we're all family and we're all in it together.
Actually, just yesterday, a really good friend of mine, all the way, she lives all the way in Florida. She reached out to me and asked me, she said, hey, how are your family? How's everyone doing? And I, you know, it kind of shocked me because I'm like, wow, even my friend who lives all the way in Florida, like she knows about this. And it's very comforting to know that people do care. And, you know, she reposted and shared a lot of things on the media. And that's something I think a lot of people can maybe continue to do is just kind of share that with everyone else. That way everyone else is aware of what's going on. There are people who are going through a very hard time right now, and anything that, you know, prayers, it doesn't have to be something, even just a prayer, saying a prayer or sending love and good light to others would be a great thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Vika and Mele. My input on this is, you know, I want everyone to share. Most people don't know about, you know, the islands and what's going on. And the more people, you know, learn about it, they, you know, they can help in any way. And not only that, I feel like my part, I don't know if you know my background, but I used to play professional football, and I'll be... be selfish of me if I don't reach out to my teammates and former teammates and coaches in this special organization that's a billion-dollar organization. They help this kind of circumstances, especially for Tonga, and especially with so many Tongan Polynesian and NFL and then other sports I think that's going to be my side that I can help share the message, you know, and I already told my wife that, you know, I don't mind going and help because you know, watching those videos, those kids in Tonga, and I have to, I can't imagine my kids, you know, I can't imagine myself going up there, you know, and going through that. So that's going to be my mission in the next year or two, to help out as much as I can, you know. And just to spread those messages with everyone, it would be selfish if you're a Tongan and you don't get to help out because you don't see anything, you don't get to experience anything in Tonga. But like Mela said, we're all families, and I'm already emotional just watching those videos, and I try to hide it from my wife this morning when she was watching, just looking at me when I was watching the videos. But I actually was teared up because there's nowhere to hide in Tonga. You know, if that tsunami come and wipe out the whole island, is like, where are you going to go hide? You know, so, but the damages after that for the next, I don't know, 2, 5, 10 years is going to be bad.
They're lucky to have you on their side, Stephen.
One thing that I love about Tonga and that's so beautiful about the country is that they're a religious country. So if you're ever in Tonga, like, you know, like on a Sunday, you know that all businesses are closed down and there's no businesses that are allowed to run on Sunday. That one day is everything is shut down. You're spending time at church or with family. Prayer is a big deal to us Tongan people. So if people can pray for us at this time, especially with not knowing where to, where we can send our resources and our, you know, people wanting to help out in any way. I think the biggest help we could receive at this time is really praying. Cause like I said, religion and God is everything to us Tongans.
Mela Hoko, I think this is a good time for me to play that song that you sent me. Is there anything that you want people to know about that song before we jump right into it?
Yeah, actually that song, it's a song about Tonga, and it's like almost the national song of Tonga. Of course, we have our national song with our king. But this is a song that when you play this song, it talks about the little island, a little period that's so tiny that is in the ocean, and how us Tongan people, you know, what a blessing that we have that to, you know, grow up in such a beautiful little island. And we are very proud of it. We are very proud. Very proud people, and we shall rise, and we will come together in this difficult time, and we will.
Mela Hoko, Vika, Stephen, Margaret, thank you so much for joining me and giving so much of yourselves today. I really appreciate it, and we will all be hoping and pulling for you that you'll hear from your friends and loved ones soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rasha.
Thank you.
Thank you.
thanks to Rasha McChesney for bringing this conversation and the request for our prayers to Juno Afternoon. Rasha is the daily editor for KTOO News.